Yes, thank you.
Right, yes. Well, you forget that Luke is a doctor. And you don't say Matthew, Mark, Dr. Luke and John, do we?
Okay.
So he has to be reminded. Now, Luke is the longest book out of the Synoptic Gospels. That's the Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. It's the longest book. Okay. And Dr. Luke, he likes to put more detail. He likes to put more facts. He likes to name names and places. He likes accuracy, Dr. Luke does. And it's very likely that he wrote the book of Acts as well. So if you put Acts together with Luke, that represents 27.5% of the New Testament.
Okay.
And in Luke, it's the only book which gives you the account of Jesus when he was 12 years old in the temple. And Luke is the only book you'll find the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, the rich fool and the great banquet, which we're about to read. Okay. Now, Paul, his best mate was Paul. He spent the longest, Luke did, with Paul than any of the other disciples. But Luke did a bit of jail time, a bit of persecution there. He spent jail time in Rome. Okay, but he was a very faithful friend to Paul. So don't forget, he's accurately recorded what Jesus has said here. Okay, that's something a bit like about Luke. Okay, so let's read the passage. Okay, from verse 35. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But to understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. It's about the Lord's return, isn't it? But I like how Jesus is equated it to dress. Let's break that down a bit. How much time did you spend this morning preparing to come to the house of the Lord? Now, some of you ladies, you must have spent hours. And by the look of some of the men, minutes. dress is very important, isn't it, you know? This is where, as men, being bold, it comes in handy. Because if you've got hair, you've got to spend lots of time, haven't you, preparing that hair. Me, I don't have to buy a comb, I don't have to brush it, and I use less shampoo. So it's good being bold, isn't it? But I've done some feasibility studies about how much you spend, you know, on clothes, especially the ladies. On average, the ladies spend about £1,000 a year on clothes. I thought it was more than that. That's only £20 a week. I thought it was more than that. I worked out that a couple, like myself and June, with one child, by the time from 16, when you first have your wages, I know it's 18 now, to when you're 76, 60 years of buying clothes for myself, for June, for my son, for 20 years, for Jordan. I reckon I will spend about, and this is the average, about £120,000 on clothes. Okay, it's a house, isn't it? It's a house. Clothes are very important. Clothes mean nothing until someone lives in them. Okay? But that's how much we spend. It's very important to look smart. Here's a saying, dress shabbily and they remember the dress. Dress impeccably, they remember the man, the woman. Will you remember me from now on? I've got a joke, actually, seeing that Luke can do jokes. I've never done a joke in a sermon before. And I think you might find this a little bit funny than one of Lou's jokes. Oh, well, yeah, I bet you've heard it before, actually, so it's quite common. A little girl was at a wedding. And she said, "Mummy, Mummy, why is the bride dressed in white?" And the mother said, "Well, the bride is dressed in white because white is a colour of happiness. And today, it's the happiest day of her life." And so, "Mummy, Mummy, so why is the groom dressed in black?" "Black is a colour of doom and gloom." No, I've just added that bit. So, thing is though, Jesus talks about being dressed and ready to serve. Okay, and you know when you're dressed, you're ready to go anywhere, aren't you? You're ready to go out. You're spiritually in your best attire, ready to serve, ready to go out, ready to go up. It says in the scripture, ready like men waiting for their master, returning from a wedding banquet. So how can we be dressed spiritually smart? What do we have to do to be spiritually smart? Daily contact with the Holy Spirit. Now that's going to be a help for you. Acknowledging him daily, praising him daily. That's how you get dressed and ready for service, being cleansed of our sin, and for a lot of us daily observing and absorbing the word of God. It involves physical action, financial giving, being his witness, and most of all being a member of a Baptist church. Anyone in England will do. That was a joke. That was another joke. You know that, don't you? Okay. But, you know, if somebody came along to you and said, who's number one in your life? Now, a lot of the men will have to say the wife, won't they? But as a Christian, if somebody asked you who's number one in your life, you would say Jesus. You would say God, wouldn't you? That's right. Thank you for that correction, Kath. She was eager to say that, number one. But I challenge you. I want to challenge you, actually. When you're asked to do something, asked to attend something in the church, asked for your help, whether inside the church or not, asked for your support, what is your first consideration? Is it God or is it yourself? When you're asked, is your first consideration your own timetable? What it costs you in time and money. Is that your first consideration? But don't forget, God comes first. If God comes first, start with a yes. Start with a yes. Yes, I am ready to serve. I'm spiritually dressed, ready to serve. Start from yes, and then consider your timetable. Consider the things that you have to do in life and you can't make it. Always say yes to God first. Consider him first and foremostly. And then, can't make it. I've got family coming over or I'm ill. Do you understand where I'm coming from? We must be ready to serve. And putting God first will help you get dressed very smartly, ready to serve. So Jesus was talking about the second coming. Now one day Jesus, the groom, will be coming for his bride. The bride is the church. And looking around, it's a pretty bride, I can tell you. But he'll be coming for his bride. In the passage, he says, like men waiting for their master, returning from a wedding banquet. The day he returns, that banquet will start in heaven, and the groom will be coming for his bride. Jesus will be coming for his church. It says in Revelation 20, verse 6, "For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Are you spiritually ready? And so when is the Lord coming? Does anybody know? And if one of you said to me, yeah, he's coming back 3 o'clock next Tuesday morning, I won't believe you. I'm not listening. But it doesn't really matter, does it, when he's coming? Because we're living with the Lord already. And if you're dressed and ready to go, it really doesn't really matter. So seeing the bride is the church. I don't think any individual will know that the Lord's coming. It's written. No individual. But I believe the season will be known through the church. The bride through the church. That's why it's very, very important in these last days, weeks, months, years. Church is very important. And we have to be touched as a church, okay? And we will know the season together. And that's how important come to church and being part of a bigger group of Christians, being in touch with the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter that, you know, we're with the Lord. It doesn't matter when he comes. You're ready. It says keep your lamps burning. We are the lights of the world, so keep them burning, okay? And it says day and night, be on guard in these last days. Now, keep your lamps burning. It says that even if he comes in the second or third watch. Now, you can equate that to how old you are. Some are in our first watch. Some is in our second or third watch. But what Jesus is saying is, in the second and third watch, that's the lateness of the hour. The Romans used to, they used to divide the night into four watches. I don't know if you remember when I was speaking about the Roman soldiers, they were guarding the tomb, and they divided the night into four. The Jews divided it into three. And what Jesus is saying here, even if it comes in the second or third watch, that's when you're likely to fall asleep. That's when you're likely to fall asleep. That's when you can drop your guard. You can give in to temptation. These are the last days. Don't become spiritually scruffy. We've all had some new clothing from last year, year before. Some of the men maybe years before, 10 years. And those clothes are now relegated to scruffs. If you're staying at home all day, you just put your scruffs on, don't you? And you're not really ready to go out, are you? So if you're spiritually in these scruffs, you're not ready to go out, you're not ready to serve, you're not ready to go out, and you're not ready to go up. Okay? So spiritually, we must be finely dressed, impeccably dressed, spiritually ready to go out at any time, and ready to serve. But I feel a lot of you are very mature Christians. I think a lot of you are perfect Christians. I believe that a lot of you are very spiritually smartly dressed, but you can slip up. Years ago, I was best man at a wedding, and it's at St. Mary's Church. Now, I don't know if you know St. Mary's Church at Eastwood. There's a tarmac path up to the front door, and there's molds of grass kind of angled away like this, and I was in top hat and tails, okay, and I was running around with my camera, and I slipped, and it rained, and it was really muddy, and on my tails jacket it was mud all the way up here, drenched, and my hand, you know, luckily none on my trousers, and my camera was safe. I was protecting my camera, and I was all muddied up. And you know what I'm getting at, aren't you? You may be feeling as though you have got something in your life. We've all got sin in our lives somewhere, and you can slip up, can't you? And then I went to the Regency Rooms at Ilkeston. Do you remember those? I'm sure we've all been to a wedding banquet there. They took the jacket off me because I was worried. I've got the best man's speech. I was going to be all you know, smart with my, because with top hat and tails, you don't really have the shirt on. You've got to have the jacket on, haven't you? They took it away from me, so we'll try and clean it. I think I just imagined an old lady kind of just trying to scrub it and not doing much with it. But 3 minutes, about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, 3 minutes before I spoke, they came and my jacket was like brand new. Of course, Co-op cleaners. The dry cleaned them, you see. And it was like perfectly all right. And I hid it, right? And the first line, when I got up to do my speech, I said, "Hands up, who thinks I've got a dirty jacket?" So wrong. Here it is, and I put it on, and it was beautifully clean. And that's really sums up our spiritual life. I mean, the Lord is the greatest dry cleaner. He will clean you, your spiritual dress, purely, fantastically, brand new. And it is surprising that the Lord. I was surprised by that clean jacket, and it's surprising the things we get up to and what we do. It's surprising how the Lord keeps on forgiving us, and you can be made new and you're back to ready for service. Okay. It says here the scripture, the Lord will come unexpectedly. Well, he's not going to come at the moment because we're all expecting him right now, aren't we? So he can't be coming now. But he's still going to come expectantly, because we don't live our lives every day expecting the Lord to come back, because the Lord's with us already. So it doesn't matter if you're dressed and ready to go, but it will come as a thief in the night. I've got a true story here, heard on the radio some years back. And it was about an elderly lady, and she was woken up in the middle of the night by all this rummaging in the bottom of the garden, where there was a big shed, and it was her deceased husband's shed. Lots of machinery and tools and whatever. And there was two thieves in there rummaging around. So she phoned the police. "Quickly, quickly, I've got two thieves in the back garden in the shed. Quickly, quickly come." And the police said, "We'll be there in 5 minutes. So 5 minutes went, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. The thieves were still there. 8, 9, 10 minutes. Thieves were still there. "Where's the police?" So she picks up the phone and she says, "Don't bother coming, I've shot them." And the police, they came, and within 3 minutes there was a helicopter, and then there were squad cars everywhere. And they actually caught the thieves because they were outnumbered and surrounded. Okay, actually got them. And then the police commissioner went up to the two thieves and couldn't find any shotgun wounds on them. He was quite disappointed. Not really. And they said, "Well," so he went up to the elderly lady, the police commissioner went up to the elderly lady and said, "I thought you said you've shot them." And she said, "I thought you said you was coming within 5 minutes." That's a true story, actually. But the elderly lady, she wasn't expecting thieves that night. Of course she wasn't. And she was quick to respond, but it was after the thieves had come. But the police were very slow to respond. They only seemed to respond to real crisis, real emergency. Thieves in the shed, well, you know. But is that what we are like? Some of us might be a little bit slow to respond. A little bit lethargic. You know, not ready to go out immediately and serve the Lord. Are we a little bit slow to that? Does it have to be a crisis? Does it have to be an emergency? People have to beg you and then you'll come out. Are we a bit slow to respond? Are we, guess what, shabbily dressed, not ready to go out? Or are we impeccably dressed, ready, saying yes, beginning with a yes to God? Okay? So, If you are dressed and ready to serve, then the Lord will serve you. The Lord will serve us. It's like going into a restaurant for a change, going into a restaurant and the waiter leads you to a table. I said, no, waiter, you sit down, have a look at the menu and I'll serve you. The roles are reversed, but this in a much greater way, God to his people. We are serving him now, but there'll be a time when he will serve us. The roles will be reversed.
Okay.
Be dressed, ready to serve, and then he'll serve us.
Okay.
It's like the prodigal son. The father, the prodigal son went away, but the father never gave up. He was, every day would wait and look on the horizon, waiting for the return of his son. And maybe that's the state we should be in, waiting for the return of the Son of God. And then when that son returned, what did the father do? After a period of watchfulness, and that's the title of this portion of scripture, he got the fattened calf out, he got the robe out, he got the ring. He was serving his son. The roles were reversed. And where can you find the prodigal son? In which book can you find the prodigal son? Wrong. It's Dr. Luke. Okay, so on the collection, on the day of the collection of his bride, the collection of his church, Jesus, it says here, Jesus will be dressed, ready to serve you. He will be dressed for the occasion. Are you dressed, spiritually dressed for that occasion? Okay, are you ready? And it's not like, forget about the restaurant story, that's very weak, I know, the waiter. This is talking about the King of Kings serving us. The King of Kings. In fact, much more than the King of Kings, the Son of God going to serve us. I can't get your head around that. You can't get your head around it. And we will be lifted up individually. We're not going to be lifted up just because we're a member of a Baptist church. We're not going to be lifted up just because you're a member of a Pentecostal church or a Church of England denomination. It's important to be a member of the church, but the most important thing is to be a living member of Jesus Christ. That's the membership we're after, above all other membership. Be a member of the Church of God, being a living member of Jesus Christ. And then you're dressed and ready to go, ready to serve, then be served. Let the bride be ready, okay? Let the church be ready for the groom to arrive, Jesus to arrive. It doesn't matter when, because we are dressed, ready for the occasion, ready to go out, ready to go up, okay? And may we all happily live, happily ever after, the end. Amen. Okay.